like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please.
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hull.
Welcome into the whole show. Time to look at the top stories trending nationally, some locally, here on this 12th day of June. Anytime you hear travel concerns with Brittany Griner, you kind of start to wonder what's going on there. Phoenix Mercury coach Vanessa Nygaard, am I right there, Tanner?
I believe so, yeah.
Good check there. Said before Sunday's 85-82 victory at Indiana that the organization, quote, will be making adjustments that maybe should have happened before regarding the safety of the team during the WNBA travel. Nygaard did not specify what that might entail, other than to say right now we're going to prioritize the safety of our players. A Blaze Media YouTube personality confronted the team at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport on Saturday morning before the Mercury traveled to Indiana after playing twice in Arlington this past week. The man described by the WNBA as a provocateur shouted questions at Phoenix center Brittany Griner while filming her and her teammates.
Have you seen the video?
No, I haven't.
They made it sound like she was in grave danger. All this YouTuber was asking was like, do you feel like, have your thoughts on the country changed since we traded the Merchant of Death for you? What are your thoughts? Do you still hate this country? Because it was a lot of that stuff that she had said. She was in no physical danger at all. One of the security guys just kept bumping the YouTuber out of the way. He never touched her. He never got close to her. In my mind, they blew this story up a lot more than what it actually was. It was a YouTuber trying to get clicks and ask the questions that, to be honest, I think a lot of Americans have. Like, have you changed your thoughts now after your time in a Russian prison? What are your thoughts on things? And she just wouldn't say anything. And the only thing said by one of the players, and I couldn't see if it was Brittany, was just, you're a weirdo. That's all they said to the guy.
Well, if we're going to get to the point where we're trying to protect celebrities from paparazzi, just ask Justin Bieber and all those guys how they feel.
100%.
Accosted all the time.
And they have already made adjustments. Like, she's flying, she's got like a private jet or whatever that she's been flying on. They've been changing things around for her. It's a little bizarre where they're trying to say that she's just in this grave danger. And I just don't get it.
Well, who knows, man? That's a weird... That continues to be an interesting story as far as all things Brittany Griner. How about this one? Wayne Gretzky, Tanner. Does that ring a bell to you?
Yeah, he's played a sport.
Wayne Gretzky, the last Wayne Gretzky worn NHL jersey, sells for... How much do you think at an auction?
$4 million.
No.
Way low.
I would think so, but way low. Way,
really?
Way high. I mean, you're way high.
I'm way high? What did it sell for?
It sold for $715,120. It was the Gray Flannel Auctions at the Gray Flannel Auctions on Sunday night.
That's it?
Yeah. It was the highest sale price for a U.S.-based hockey jersey, eclipsing the last one that was sold for $657,000 in 2013.
I overestimated the
hockey
fans' willingness.
If you would have asked me without having this information in front of me, I would have easily said, at least $1 million or something.
Yeah. No, that's why I definitely would have thought that.
So, but again,
it's hockey.
It's hockey. So is that why? I guess the market doesn't scream for that. I mean, I watch a lot of Pawn Stars and American Pickers, so I understand how these things are done.
Yeah.
When Rick buys something, he goes, I got to find a buyer, and if these things aren't really hot, then it's just going to take me more time to find this buyer. So maybe there's just not a lot of people that are into collecting NHL jerseys.
If you could have one signed jersey from anybody, who would it be?
I have a John Elway one, but I probably Michael Jordan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How much would you be willing to pay for that?
I don't want to pay for it.
Okay.
Hey, Tanner.
It was like, I wouldn't go buy one right now. If I could get one for $100, but I'm not, I don't need a signed Michael Jordan jersey.
Somewhere out there, a financial advisor said, Brady gets it.
Yeah.
He gets it.
Yeah, I don't need one.
Spending that amount of money is just absurd on something like that. Like,
no.
And you've seen me at, friends of baseball events and stuff like that. If it's going to a good cause.
I like sports memorabilia as much as the next guy.
But I'm going to buy it as long as it's supporting a good cause, you know, at those charity events. That's where I buy all of my sports memorabilia.
I'm not even that noble. I have a signed John Elway jersey in the shadow box thing.
Do I have it?
My wife got that for me. I don't even know what she paid for it. But I got a Nikola Jokic signed thing, a couple of cool signed. I have some of that stuff, but yeah. I'm not like. I'm not going to go out and spend hundreds on an item. If I can find like a signed something or another that you can frame that's like $75 or something, mm-hmm. I might, you know, spring for something like that once in a while.
Yeah.
How much would you pay for a Floyd Little jersey?
Mike is trying to get my Floyd Little jersey from me.
I'm just wondering how much it
make
it
him
would cost
make
me.
Him an offer. Make him an offer right now, Michael. Go ahead, make him an offer.
A serious one?
Yeah, right now. Make him an offer.
Consider just. I am a poor man.
If you yes.
$100.
But he'll throw in a ride on the scooter.
Okay. I will throw in a ride on the scooter.
Just one ride? I think I should have access to it like once a week.
Once a week, no.
That's a lot.
Hold on.
I got a guy. I'll go bring him in and he'll talk to us about that and see if that's a real value.
Okay.
That's a Pawn Stars.
I've seen the show.
I was going to get into some live stuff, but...
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I know you hate golf.
I don't hate golf.
And you don't think there's a real strategy behind it.
I never said that.
You did.
There's definitely...
No, you did.
There's definitely strategy behind it.
I was screaming at my stereo in my
You're the
pickup.
Guy that doesn't think track is a sport.
Track's not a sport.
Track's not a sport.
Attaboy, Micah.
He doesn't think golf's a sport either.
Golf is an athletic event.
So anyway, an Argentine corporation has filed a federal trademark infringement lawsuit against the LIV Golf League and its High Flyers GC team, captained by Phil Mickelson, accusing them of copying its 20-year-old logo for popular skateboarding and lifestyle apparel.
I mean,
Fallen.
When you know how much money that LIV Tour has, they're just going for the money. They're just going to try and get a settlement and say, hey, no, never mind, we're good. That's all they're going for. That's going to be really interesting with the merger. And Jay Monahan is just the biggest hypocrite in the world right now.
Is this going to affect – now, you watch golf. You're one of those that we talk about behind your backs. Is this going to change your watching habits?
It depending on the changes that they make. Golf needs more team events.
Right.
And that's
what is that? Why?
Because it sets up a different scenario. So, you know, that is part of the strategy, right? Okay, I can hit a club into 120 yards a lot better than I can, you know, 80 yards. So I'm going to try and leave it at 120. So like alternate shot competition where you've got Rory and Tiger, for example, that are just doing the alternate shot.
If it's a team thing, who wins the gold jacket, green jacket? Who gives it? Remember what Adam Sandler said in Happy Gilmore?
The majors need to stay the same. But they need to sprinkle in outside of the majors because that's the only time anyone pays any attention to golf is during the majors. So the majors, they've got it right. But some of those off weekends, they need to make it more of a team-oriented, build up some rivalry, try and create, manufacture some drama. That's what golf needs to do. They had it for a while with Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. They hated each other. Then the Ryder Cup, right? It's America versus Europe. And then, you know, obviously the Masters are great. The LIV has created some of that drama. And that's what people are looking for. Now, how do you create that drama now that everyone's on a unified front, or quote-unquote, unified front.
Well, the whole thing was, when we talked about this last week, was when they joined forces now, they were talking about the bottom line is we're putting all the other stuff away to make golf great. So my question to you then is, like, what you said, that's what you would do then to make golf great
in my mind.
Well, and organized stuff.
But you're going to have better marketing now. I mean, more money gives you the ability to do a lot of those things, of more marketing, getting the name out there, getting certain stuff done. At the end of the day, golf is not going to be for everyone. And it's got this really elitist feel to it at times of, well, if you don't follow this exact rule. That's why I love the Eden Country Club, because it's a pristine course, but jeans are okay, right? You're not going to get looked down on for some of this stuff. And that's the thing. That's the side of golf that they need to change, is that, hey, these guys are human, more mic'd up players. That's what they need to change. And more money just gives you the ability to do that. And that's what they got with the LIV Tour.
I mean, national sports should always be about grabbing the casual fan, because there's just, you're going to have football fans that watch football. You're going to have basketball fans that played basketball, love basketball, whatever. But if you're not working to capture casual fans, then you won't. I mean, I'm not going to say you won't succeed, because obviously golf has succeeded, But you won't make it to that upper echelon conversation where you're making bigger money, you're able to pour more money into it and invest, and then you're ultimately competing with the big dogs. And I'm talking about the NBA, the NFL, the MLB, and the NHL. You're a UFC guy, you're a golf guy. Those sports will never, for many reasons, will never reach the top four pinnacle because the sport itself, not everybody typically does.
Correct.
Hockey is also number four because of that, but still enough people are doing it. But it's also a sport, in my opinion, I talked about this the other day, there's just certain categories in sports. There's your team sports, which, like it or not, but soccer, all those go into it, where basketball, football, hockey, all that is. Then there's your fighting sports, where UFC, boxing, and all of that go over here. And then there's your, and I'm putting golf in the same category, fair or not, as bowling and dart throwing and all of those things. What category would you put it in?
The individual sport.
But it's in the same, it's you're aiming at something.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
The golf course is the thing that's trying to defend it, right?
Correct. You could argue that about bowling or whatever, too.
No, because it's the same every single time
you
go
out
there. The lanes are the exact same every single time. The golf course is the thing protecting it.
Okay, but that's not a real defense. That's not somebody that can game plan every day against you.
The people behind, how long do they let the rough go? Do they roll out the greens so they're even faster than normal? The pin locations. Like, there's a lot of that
goes
into it.
So the trees are studying film on Tiger Woods.
The people who manage the trees are studying how to make this golf course difficult.
Okay,
because there's golf course. It's true, though. It is true. They will let the rough grow longer for this one. The rain comes in. Like, it is the elements. That is what is defending the course. And that's why I always cheer for, like, this sounds horrible, but when there's Masters or whatever, I'm cheering for crappy weather. Because I want to see those guys. Because they could go, I mean, they could go to the Eden Country Club, and they would shoot a course record. I mean, it would be ridiculous. Like, on a course that you and I struggle on, right? They go out there and just kill it. But it's the little things, the placement of bunkers, right? How fast are the greens? Are we going to slow the greens down a little bit? There's a lot of that that goes in that I get it. The casual fan's not going to watch. The other thing, too, that I think that golf needs to do, shorten it down to a 3-day tournament or 2-day tournament. Like, you don't need to start it on a Thursday morning. Like, shorten it up and cut it down to a 3-day tournament.
Maybe. Noob says lanes are not the same every single time. So there you go.
How?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But you're wrong on that one.
You can't just say, somebody just say that I'm wrong and then not, because to my knowledge, they're all the same length and they all have 10 pins sitting back there.
Dixon says, if you're losing in golf, you have to be more aggressive. If winning, you play safe. What was that in reference to? The strategy? I'm not saying the strategy of a golfer is bad. I'm just saying that the reason golf isn't up here with these sports that we're talking about on a daily basis is because I can see that the Nuggets are going to go to film and they're going to figure out how to defend this guy. I'm not planting a tree to try to stop him. I'll go sign a tree in Rudy Gobert to try to stop him. That's what I'm saying. Is like I get where you're coming from, but that's not,
golf will never be on that level.
It's like horse racing. It's you're saying that this horse is the greatest athlete of all time. It's a horse.
Right.
Cheetah, if we're going to go that far, the cheetah should be the greatest athlete of all time. We should ride cheetahs. But what my point is on golf is at the end of the day, the sport, you can make edits and you can do all these things to it, but it won't capture the casual fan because it doesn't have a defense.
That's
what we love to see as American sports fans is defense.
I don't know.
Defending an offense so that an offense can overcome a defense.
Yeah, the offense is what sells. We've seen that in the
But the offense
NFL right
doesn't
now.
Sell if there's not a defense to overcome.
The NFL is still selling, and there's hardly any defense.
But you still have to overcome.
And the
something.
NBA, the defense is horrible.
You still have to overcome something.
The other thing is too, like on a casual Sunday, you're flipping through channels. Unless it's a major, you can't get the golf. You know, any golf that's going on anywhere other than the golf channel. So if you don't have that package, you're not going to see it. So everybody gets the ABCs, right? And that's the only time it's aired on like ABC is on the majors. So accessibility to the general public also has to happen. And the other thing too, Brady, is that it's football is cheap, right? I mean, go out and buy a football. A set of golf clubs is not cheap.
No.
You know, you're talking, cheap end of golf clubs, $200.
Golf clubs, the clothes you got to wear. I mean, you're talking,
the golf balls.
Because when you're usually getting into sports, you're at a fairly young age for the most part.
Right. No, you have to cheapen up the game as well. Accessibility and cheapen up the
game. Why do we need 4 million clubs?
See, this is part of the strategy as well.
Why can't we have three clubs? A putter, a driver, and then one of the in-betweens. We don't need $4 million.
So
that's
so,
what confuses the hell out. I don't know, man. A 7, a 5. What?
Golfers like you, and even me at times, but golfers like you, that would work just fine because you don't know how far that club's going to go. Because your swing's so inconsistent, right? Now I fall into that too. You know, I had a 210 yard shot yesterday. I'm like, okay, I hit, you know, this 5 hybrid 205 yards every single time. It'll be perfect. Actually hit a good shot for once in my life, and it rolled off the back of the green. I'm like, that's frustrating. I agree with you. It needs to be simplified, but golf will never be on the same level as those other things. They just need to try and build up some rivalries. There's not a lot of drama, and they're trying to do that. I think it's Full Swing on Netflix. Have you seen that documentary?
No.
I think that may change your mind a little bit about golf. I challenge you to watch the first episode of that. I challenge you to watch. It's 30 minutes. I challenge you to watch. Once the NBA Finals are done, we're dead with the Rockies. Rockies are dead and buried. Bus is dead. It's all over. It's all over. I challenge you to watch one 30-minute episode and see what your thoughts are.
Do you accept the challenge?
I'm
not going to accept it yet. Because that just sounds like watching a library to me.
Exactly.
I'm going to go watch this library be a library.
So accept the challenge. Watch the first episode.
Okay. Fine.
Challenge accepted. Yep, bye. By next
August 3rd.
Nope, because all you're going
to
be.
They need a Happy Gilmore. I know it sounds far fetched, but you need a Happy Gilmore. No more khakis and polos.
Right. They're going to be able to wear shorts now.
What if they just wore regular uniforms?
Right. I think they should
have instead of khakis and a pink polo, they come out and they are in uniform shorts or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that changes anything.
But what if you had state-based teams as well? That was a thought that I had here, too. Like, all the Colorado golfers are on a team, and it's all their collective net score.
That also would change things, because what do we also love here? We love watching the Nuggets, Avalanche, Broncos, Rockies. But we also don't necessarily always love out-of-market sports.
Right.
Like, are you going to be sitting down on October 31st watching Memphis play New York? You know, it doesn't.
I'll be on my honeymoon, so no.
But you can see, like,
yeah.
NFL-wise has captured that. You will definitely watch
right.
Detroit taking on San Francisco or something like that. But the other thing is, we root for our teams, and then it spills out into the market.
Correct.
Is there a Colorado golfer that we should know about?
Right. No. And those are the stories, too. But a couple of weeks ago, I think it was Michael Block. I know his last name was Block, but he was just a normal golf pro. So he, just like the Tom over at the Eaton Country Club, he got on to one of these majors and ended up in the top 15 of the major. So this average Joe walked out, and he hit a hole-in-one while he was out there. So it's those stories and that the storylines you got to create.
Here's the other thing that bothers me about golf is – could you hit a hole in one at one of these courses that you see the pros playing?
No, hell no.
You couldn't?
No.
There's no chance. You couldn't get it that far. Could anybody that you've golfed with hit it that far where they could get a potentially, let's just say, luck of the draw, they get a...
Well, yeah. I mean, theoretically.
So it's weird to me that someone you've said you've just played with could actually do, maybe one time, do what a pro does.
It's just been one time.
There is no way you could stand in the pocket and complete a 25-yard out route in the NFL.
I was an all-state quarterback.
There's just no way.
I'm just saying, I was.
You would be picked off, it'd be sacked. There's no way you could go one-on-one against Nikola Jokic in the NBA.
No.
You're not going to luck into that. Ten times out of ten, he's stopping us.
That's what's so interesting about golf is that it is such a challenge for everyone. There's more movement in a golf swing than any other athletic movement there is. There are more things going on in that swing. That's what makes it so interesting, is that because you can go out there and have a great day. You went out and you made a couple pars in a row a couple years ago.
And I've never played before.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. But then
you have it, you know, you've got one or two since then. So there's just so many things going on with a golf swing and playing around that go into it that just makes it insane. It just, a lot of those winners just got lucky on the right day.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of changes, and I just don't know at the end of the day. Like, baseball, I thought, made a real change this year.
They did.
Where
they improved the game.
Like, I'm telling you, sports is, every single year it changes up a little bit. So if the Rockies roll next year or whatever, then suddenly the state of Colorado becomes diehard Rockies fans, and that's how you build that. Okay, now that audience is engaged for a few years because your team's kind of a contender.
Don't put this false hope in my mind.
But that's how it goes.
Right.
Yeah, with golf, you don't have that.
No.
And you're not picking up that casual fan. What does that look like to be a casual fan?
Well, I think golf got real lazy with Tiger Woods. I mean, Tiger Woods was so good.
But they had one hero that they could really build up,
and that just helped. It helped. But this is the argument that I've been saying why Tiger Woods has turned bad for the game of golf is because he's the one everyone focused on. He could be completely out of the tournament.
Still getting your casual fans, though.
You need to move on, though, because he's fallen off.
How do you?
And they were so late. You got to create rivalries. You got to build up and put the spotlight on this guy or this guy. John Rahm's been phenomenal this year. He's going to win another tournament, and all of a sudden they're cutting away to watch Tiger on this. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, but that's still the casual fan is like, oh, is Tiger Woods still golfing? How's he doing these days?
But they've beaten a dead horse. It's over. And the PGA waited way too long to admit that, and I don't even know if they have still.
Well, can you stick around for one other segment?
Sure.
Okay, Hikes Ace Hardware. I want to thank those guys. Veteran-owned and locally owned. They're Greeley's original hardware location. They've been doing that since 1954. And we love this here, near and dear to our heart. They offer military, first responder, and educator discounts. You can check out their store for details. Do-it-yourselfers, I'm in that row. I'm learning how to do that more and more every day. It is definitely a learning process. But you feel better when you have people at Hikes Ace Hardware that can actually help you out, help you find what you need, not go look for it while you're looking for it. They know where it is already. That's Hikes Ace Hardware. 1227 the time. Let's jump out and get a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Greeley Stampede is almost here. Join Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint for Rodeo Radio this June in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy, Hooter Pet and Feed Supply. We love working with these guys. They have great deals going on for the entire month of June, just like they did in May. I mean, I thought it was going to be over and I was just going to talk about deals in May, but they have great deals in June going on as well. And check this out. Tickets go on sale June 18th for the event VIP experience to benefit Animal Friend Alliance. That website is pooterfeed.com, and you can check out more details there. But it's an evening of movies, snacks, a combo meal with beverage of your choice. Horse and Dragon will be on tap there. Cat or Dog, perfect bundle featuring full-size products, premier spot to park with the best view in the house. Check out their website on this, pooterfeed.com/barks-in-movie-page. Number one. So you want to check that. It's a lot to remember. Just go to Pooter Pet and Feed Supplies website, and then you can find all the information there. But it's a really cool deal coming up on July 22nd. They have all these cool movie deals they're doing with Holiday Twin Drive-In, courtesy of Pooter Pet and Feed Supply. Tanner Schwint sitting in here with us. You didn't have a show today, so you're kind of lost
in
the world. You'll be back at it. Good morning, NoCo, at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, bright and early from the new studios here. You and I were going back and forth about golf and all that, which is astonishing because we were arguing about hockey versus golf, which is more popular, which I still have some edits to make to that argument. But you were saying the Masters viewership is double the size of what last year's Stanley Cup final average was.
Yeah, it peaked at 15 million on the last round, 15 million viewers, but it averaged about 12 million viewers on that Sunday, on that last Sunday of people watching. So there's a legitimate argument
worldwide.
That's everything.
But that's the same
as hockey. I mean,
You're getting Canada and America really watching.
You got a lot of Russian players
can
out
they get
there.
Our TV over
I
there.
I would assume so. I don't know the Russian TV.
I honestly don't know if they can. I think that's an interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I do know that you do have a lot of those foreign players, Swiss players in the NHL, and so I think there's an argument to be made that golf's more popular than the NHL. The reason why we can't wrap our brains around that, and I'd be interested to see if it was more of a, hey, Tuesday night, here's a one-round-only tournament, right? Because it is. It's these weekends. It's 4 days in a row, and then you don't hear about it for a while, and then here it comes back. So I'd be curious to see what it would draw if it was on every single night like the NHL is.
All right, so let's take a look at this game tonight. We did get this, that Miami Heat guard Tyler Hero is upgraded to questionable for tonight's game. He is expected to dress and attempt to play in Game 5. How much of an impact does Hero make? I mean, even a fully healthy Hero, I would still, you know, okay, I think we can maybe slow him down. But are they forcing him back here? I mean, if you're Miami, it's scary because this thing's probably done and you're going to push him back in for one game. What if he re-aggravates it and his progress takes a month stall or something and going into next season?
I think it's all – I mean, I would play him. I think you play to try to win an NBA championship.
Play?
I don't know. I don't think it matters. I think the Nuggets took the NBA's best shot at him on Friday night. Scott Foster doing his thing with that phantom call on Nikola Jokic.
How about that, too? And all that, Joker.
Put him on the bench with 5 minutes
and
left.
5 months ago, all of us would have been like,
I was a little nervous still.
But
I mean,
this team continues to step up.
When he went out with that phantom fifth foul, the Nuggets were up 10. When he came back in, the Nuggets were up 9. Bruce Brown, dude. I mean, just ridiculous. Jamal Murray has elevated. Jamal Murray is turning from just a, hey, he's a really good scorer. You know, the Murray flurry and all that. He's turning from that to, he's a floor general out there, too.
Starting to.
He is.
12 assists in that game.
If that progress continues on, man, the Nuggets aren't just going to win the championship this year. They are going to be in the championship, in the finals, for the next 3 to 5 years.
And I said this about Jamal at the beginning of this playoffs, is that this is the difference between winning a championship is going to be Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
Because I know what Joker's going to do.
Right.
I mean, again, 23 points and 12 rebounds of force is considered like a meh.
That was an off
play hardly in the fourth. Jamal, though, even though he had 15, that wasn't one of those games where I said, where's Jamal?
Right.
I didn't feel that way because he was doing everything else.
His impact was felt in other ways. And that's if he gets to that level, it's going to be really, really scary. But let me just throw this out there.
You have this interesting take on we think this series is going to end tonight.
It's over. It's over.
You're not 100% sold on the Joker being the MVP, which is a surprise.
I think he should get the accolades.
Finals
100%.
MVP.
I think he should get the finals MVP, and he will get the finals MVP. Like, there's zero doubt in my mind that he will. But
your second runner-up is a surprise to me, too.
Yeah, my runner-up here is Aaron Gordon. This dude, when you look at the way that he impacts a game, because in my mind, he's the second most consistent player on this team in terms of impact made.
I will agree with you that he's the second most consistent player. I'll give you that.
His impact on the game, and here's the thing, because defense is, it is what it is. We don't pay a lot of attention to it in the NBA. When we look at the stat lines, we don't look at, oh, wow, he had this or the, you know, this many turnovers that he forced or whatever. That's like secondary. We look at points scored. Aaron Gordon in these playoffs has maybe gone through the most difficult defensive challenges out of anyone who has ever been in the playoffs. And I get this is the finals MVP, but when you look at, he stopped Karl-Anthony Towns. He slow down Kevin Durant enough for the Nuggets to not take that thing into 7 and went into 6. And mostly that was Devin Booker who did a lot of that damage. Really, Aaron Gordon did a good job defending Kevin Durant. Nuggets win in 6. Then you task him with LeBron. LeBron couldn't stay caught up with the physicality of an Aaron Gordon defense. The Nuggets sweep him in 4. Then you get into these playoffs. Jimmy Butler in the Eastern Conference Finals beat the Boston Celtics by himself. Gabe Vincent had a couple of good nights, yada, yada. But it was Jimmy Butler.
Had two
it was
games
Jimmy
where he had less
Buckets.
Than 20 points.
They beat, as an 8 seed, they beat the 1 seed because of Jimmy Butler's defense and ability to score, right? He was phenomenally in the Eastern Conference Finals. He's been a non-factor. Maybe he'll go get 20, but those are non-meaningful buckets. Aaron Gordon when the chips are down, steps up. We saw it in game four with his offensive outburst that he had too, but he is so consistent defensively in taking that best player out of their rhythm that he should be considered for the NBA Finals MVP.
Over Jamal Murray.
Over Jamal Murray.
See, you just said it though about Jamal. He's a floor general out there.
You see spurts of that.
Yeah, but you're seeing it in these finals especially, you're seeing it more and more from this guy. And when you're seeing him at his best, he makes the Nuggets unstoppable. At Aaron Gordon's best, he makes the Nuggets good. But when Jamal is at that high level, that bubble Murray level, nobody can beat Denver. Nobody can do it.
I think when Aaron Gordon has games like he did on game number four on Friday, it doesn't matter. I don't think Jamal Murray had to play in that game four. If Nikola Jokic is there, Nikola Jokic just needs a running mate. And Aaron Gordon has been the most consistent running mate for the Denver
And I
Nuggets.
Agree with the consistency thing, but I'm just telling you.
And that's got to go a
long Jamal
way.
Murray, being part of history when they had the triple-double thing a couple games ago, I look at it. I kind of can go with you on the secondary nod to Gordon. Joker's by far and away
he's the MVP.
The finals MVP. But if I'm going to have a debate, it's probably going to be closer to Jamal Murray. But I don't actually, for once, don't hate you for this argument.
Thank you. And I got to give a shout out to my buddy Doug because he put this thought in my brain about Aaron Gordon because I was like, at first, I
that's probably why I don't hate you on this argument.
Yeah, because it wasn't
manifested by your own brain.
No, correct.
Okay.
What about Bruce Brown? No, I'm just kidding.
So here's something. Okay, I know we're 1 o'clock hour is going to be all things Game 5 preview, but this is just a scenario. Who's more valuable to the Nuggets, Bruce Brown or Michael Porter Jr.?
Don't make me say Bruce Brown. I love
MPJ.
Okay,
so the only way you can keep Bruce Brown, although I am hearing that Calvin Booth is like whatever it's going to take, but when I look at their salary cap, and I'm going to have Dempsey on at some point to really break through this, but it doesn't look like for a stupid person like me, when I look at the salary cap and I see the hit, it doesn't seem to compute. I can't crunch those numbers enough
right.
to make Bruce Brown fit. The only way I can fit is if KCP or Michael Porter Jr. is not on this team.
KCP, I think you can find another.
But you can't
KCP.
Really trade that contract that he's getting. Yeah. Can you really trade that?
Yeah, I mean MPJ. I think you can still get. I think you can still unload him. I don't think that's an issue.
But he's paid $30 million a year for a guy that has a bad back and hasn't really been at his best.
I'm not willing to completely go in on the fact that they should trade him yet. I'm not.
So then can you get – so KCP signed a two-year deal with a player option in 24 for basically on average $14 million a year.
So he's
that's what
pick
Bruce
that up.
Brown should be. Well, his will come in 2024. So they've got him for $14 million guaranteed next year. Can you move KCP for $14 million? Bruce Brown is a player option of $6.8 million. His value has jumped up to probably $14 to $16 million.
Right.
Which means you can't afford him right now.
No, it's interesting. You do have to do whatever it takes to keep Bruce Brown because he has been a critical difference. We go back to Monte Morris and things like that. Well, they never got to this point with Monte Morris. You've got a guy in Bruce Brown that is...
I love Bruce Brown.
I do,
and
too.
You should really love him because he's a cowboy.
He actually
is a cowboy.
Well,
I don't know if he has cows,
but he
dresses like a cowboy.
I'd like to say probably not, but he was also at the Rockies game chugging beer. So like,
he's bumping country music in the locker room.
He checks like
I'm
all
sure
the boxes.
Sucks for everybody else, though. But for you, you would be in heaven.
Bruce Brown might be my favorite player now. I didn't know these things about
him. Oh, yeah. No, they were asking him, like, what music do you listen to? He's like, I'm not really in control of the music, but... You know, I heard up country. What's the Wallen guy's name?
Morgan Wallen.
That's the guy.
Love Morgan Wallen.
There you go. 12:43 the time. Are you sticking around till 1 o'clock?
You whatever you want.
Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. And listen, I'm knocking watching golf. When I'm out at the Eaton Country Club, I'm just looking at these clouds rolling in here. Isn't that fun to say that inside the studio? We're looking at the clouds
yes.
rolling in. I always just love being out at the Eaton Country Club when there's kind of a storm maybe surrounding, sitting in McCarty's Grill.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking about going out and golfing. I just think it's perfect, man.
It is. And this is what I love. I went out and played yesterday, actually. And it was... there was nobody out there. The tee time was easy to get and take our time on the course out there. The course was in great conditions. And I golfed tremendously well yesterday, which is a surprise because that has not been the case. But
I think you're a pretty good golfer. From what I've seen, based on my studies.
Are we going to get are we going to get you out to the course this year?
We'll get out there. Yeah, we'll get out there. Once I get the move in and all that stuff, I've got an invention that I'd like to try out too. So, and I know Angel's been working on his game, so we'll get Angel out there. And but I love the folks out there. They're just great.
No,
Kyle's amazing to me. He doesn't look down on me because I suck at golf so bad. He's genuine. And I love the staff out there. You feel that when you're out there.
No, for sure. And Tom, the new golf pro, Tom's been out there for a long time, and now he's the golf professional out there.
Stickman saying they also have 75-cent wings tonight for the Nuggets game.
There you go,
going
man.
On. So that's Eaton Country Club. Check out, and we'll find out how to become a member today at eatoncc.net. You don't have to be a member, though, to eat.
No, you do not. So you do not. Great food out there.
Yep, absolutely. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Nuggets Heat tonight. Now, Malone's saying all the right things. His job is to continue to hit that nerve, whatever it is, to motivate this team. A narrative that I've heard like the last week or so is, well, yeah, as far as Spoelstra and Malone, Malone has the easier adjustment to make. Spoelstra does. And I agree. The Nuggets have a better roster. Don't blame Calvin Booth for what Pat Riley and those guys can't do in Miami. But saying that Malone has it easy in these playoffs and in the season because at first it was the Nuggets don't have the horses. Now, oh, well, it's too easy for Malone. He's not really that good of a coach. I think that striking a nerve and keeping a team motivated when they know they are destined to be a champion is why coaching matters, especially in the NBA.
It is, and here's what drives me crazy about certain media outlets is that they move the goalposts for these guys. I had my questions about Michael Malone to the point where I said if they don't make the NBA Finals this year, he needs to be fired. I was wrong about Michael Malone. Like, why is it so hard for the national media to just say that you're wrong? Don't move the goalposts. I said from the beginning of the year, the Nuggets have to make the NBA Finals this year. Otherwise, they need to make a coaching change. Guess what? They're going to win the NBA championship tonight. I was wrong about Michael Malone.
How about this? Let's take a quick break here, but the comparison between the Nuggets and the Avalanche is mind-boggling how this works. And the Kroenkes own both of them. Is it a Kroenkes thing? I don't know. But let's talk about it on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA Zone Jerry Schimmel back on the call for the Colorado Rockies on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Going to a little Limp Bizkit there, huh, Michael? Not bad.
The only good song that they did.
No. I don't think they have one.
They have a lot of great songs.
No, this is the only good one they did.
Want to shout out to Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor, my guy Ryan Hicks. He and his partner formed this group about 20 years ago. Both are Bears alumni, UNC Bears alumni. They've had the backs of Northern Coloradoans for quite a while now. They specialize in risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs for Weld County, and are the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Do not lose what you've been working so hard for. Call my guy Ryan at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. 12:57 the time. We're going to get into more of this Game 5 preview stuff between the Nuggets and the Heat. But, Tanner, do they cover tonight?
9 points? Yeah, this thing's over.
Blow them out?
They blow them out. This thing's settled by halftime.
I'll just be curious to see the focus factor tonight. For the Nuggets. You could do this in front of your home court. You got an extra game. Also, and what is it about the Kroenkes, man? Because we'll talk about the comparisons between the Nuggets and the Avs, what they did last year, too. It's phenomenal. It's kind of creepy, really. Third and final hour coming up next. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. You watch the faces. You see the truth.
racist.